swing and a belt. Well, Beal, way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over.
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
How's it going, everybody? Matt Robinson with you here on Talk and Sports. See if I remember how to do this. It's been a little while. On the line with me there today, Matty Lang. First time in 2020. What's happening, man?
It's like riding a tricycle, isn't it?
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, I'm way too big for this. And yeah, just looking kind of silly out here in that regard. Yeah. What's new with you, man? How are things?
Man, it's crazy to think this is the first time I've been on the old TCA all year, but man, off to a good start for the new year, and hopefully everybody else is as well. It's good to be back.
Well, let's not go any further without teeing up the new project. If you're following us on Tall Can Audio, or if you follow Matty on his social media feeds, it's Matt Does Physio on Instagram. It's at Matthew Lang on Twitter. You're noticing some new stuff, maybe some video content. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? Because I don't think you've been on since that officially fired up.
No, you're right. And always, you know, thanks for sharing it with everybody in the TCA family. Yeah. For any of you guys who've been following along for the last little while, you know I love doing my injury reports in the kind of a mini blog format. So I think we decided the next step, and maybe the obvious step, was to start creating video content. And what we've done is, with a friend of mine, we've kind of turned it into like a mini Jay and Dan style,
right?
Explanation is kind of like our genesis of what our idea was. So we're trying to keep it pretty, you know, succinct, and all our injuries to about a 5-minute little video explaining what the injury is. And we've got a new skeleton that we've been playing around with now for the last couple of videos to just help people understand what these injuries are, what they mean. What they mean for their favorite teams, their fantasy implications, and of course, you know, maybe a little bit of what that rehab might look like, or timelines might look like for their favorite players, but also for themselves or their friends who might also have the similar injuries or have gone through those experiences in the past.
Right. Pretty interesting content up so far, spanning across the sports world. Where can people find it? What should they be searching for?
So they should be searching for The Injury Gurus. We just started our Twitter page this past weekend. We've officially got our Instagram page up and running with little clippets, but the best place to check us out is on YouTube, where we're going to be uploading all our videos, including some general rehab stuff for people, who have been asking, you know, hey, this, you know, let's say Jake Muzzin,
right?
This is the injury he had. What would his rehab look like? So we've also started uploading some injury protocols for people coming back for that type of injury. That's all going to be found and housed on our YouTube channel.
Yeah,
again, Injury Gurus.
Yeah, hit it up on YouTube. Give it a follow. Give it a subscribe. Hit that subscribe button, as the YouTubers
like to
say.
Hit that subscribe button,
exactly.
Baby.
Mash it. Mash the subscribe button. And one of the interesting angles that you guys have had on it that's kind of cool for somebody like me, who, you know, you guys. You're good about, you know, using the big words to explain what's happened and then dumbing it down for people like myself so we can all follow along. But the fantasy angle that you've put on it, so, you know, if you got this guy, it's probably worth just dropping him. He's not going to be back for a couple of months. And even when he is, he's probably going to be slowed up a bit, or, you know, this guy's worth holding on to a little bit. So kind of a couple of unique angles that you guys have come at this with. It's been pretty cool to follow so far, man.
Well, I'm glad you like that. You know, to be honest, like, most of the stuff that we've come up with, most of the stuff that I've done, you know, with the mini blogs, have basically come from feedback from people, right?
And yeah.
This wasn't, when it was focused on basketball, I wasn't getting too many fantasy questions,
right?
But the moment I started doing the NFL season this
year, yeah,
and getting a lot of QB injuries right off the bat of the season, these questions started to kind of flood in through my DMs and through the comments. So we thought it was something that obviously people were interested in, and we're hoping to continue that. I mean, unfortunately, the NFL season's at its conclusion right now, but moving forward, I think, you know, it's something we want to keep hitting and keep pushing for everybody, because it's, you know, something that we all enjoy to take part in as sports fans.
Sure. You mentioned the NFL season coming to its conclusion. We will get to that a little bit later on in the show. Also want to talk about the Raptors here a little bit. Of course, we're going to touch on Kobe Bryant. Just quickly before we do, I spent this past weekend in Montreal with our pal Amy, who was kicking off her season. She's been on the show several times. If you're interested in her Paralympic journey, you can just search for Amy Burke at tallcanaudio.com if you're not familiar. Most of you already are, based on the feedback that we get. She kicked off her 2020 season with a gold medal MVP-worthy performance at the Montreal Open as she gears up for, like I said, the 2020 Paralympic Games. This was the first competition for her of the year. Looked fantastic again. And I only bring it up because last week, for those who have been following along for a while, you know that Amy is a product originally of Spud Island, Charlottetown, PEI, and she was nominated with several other deserving athletes for Prince Edward Island's Female Athlete of the Year in 2019. That is not just a Paralympic caliber thing. That is across all sports. So she's in there with some track athletes, some female hockey players, some whatever. And this is in a niche sport that no one's ever heard of. And yet Amy's getting it done to a point and getting her team qualified for Tokyo that she's been nominated there. So shout out to our pal Amy for being nominated for Sport PEI's Female Athlete of the Year. We will share more info on that, of course, at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/tallcanaudio. Just wanted to point that out. We get a lot of feedback on our Amy shows, so to keep people up to date, those are a couple of pretty cool little moments for her.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the first I'm hearing about that. I'm going to have to send her a message and congratulate her. That's great.
For sure. Look, all the news right now, and rightfully so, centered around Sunday's tragedy in suburban Los Angeles. I can't imagine there's any of you listening to a sports podcast that haven't already heard this, but if you've been living under a rock for the last day or two, a helicopter with Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven other people on board went down. Everyone killed. Really sad, you know, thing to witness for anybody. But this has really caught on just based on the superstar caliber athlete, first and foremost, that Kobe Bryant was, the level of celebrity that he carried, the fact that he made his name in Los Angeles for the Lakers, obviously one of the marquee franchises for the NBA. Many of you will remember that he also won an Oscar in 2018 for the work that he did on a project called Dear Basketball that just increased his global presence. But if you are even a mild sports fan anywhere around the world, basketball is one of those games that's played everywhere. It's in South America, it's in China, it's in Europe. People know Kobe Bryant everywhere in the world. This is one of those ones at 41 years old that catches people way off guard. You are obviously far more tapped into the NBA than I am, so I want to get your take on it. But the NBA did announce just an hour or two ago that they will postpone Tuesday's Lakers-Clippers game just out of respect for the organizations and the athletes and in Los Angeles that would be far more under the gun and people who are, you know, maybe affected by this more than the rest of the league. But some interesting tributes we've seen across the league since then. This was big news that far outweighed the sports world. What did you think?
Oh, man. I was thinking about this. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday when we were queuing this up, and you know, just all day it's been on my mind. And to give you some perspective, when the news came down, I was just about to leave my house to go to an Australia Day celebration and a fundraiser for the bushfires from people here in Toronto for expats.
Yeah.
Not that I'm one, but I'll go anywhere where there's beer and a reason to donate, right?
Sure, so yeah.
They had me bought in, and I was joking around with a couple friends, and I got a text message that said, Kobe's dead. That's it.
Yeah,
so I immediately think, all right, it's some sort of internet prank that my friend's fallen for. Right off your phone, you Google, and all the information starts flooding. And before I can even look up from my phone, I start getting a flood of messages. More people letting me know Kobe's dead. My friends told me I looked like I had seen a ghost. This one hit me hard.
Yeah.
And I'm not the type of guy who typically cares about celebrity, even sports celebrity.
Yep.
But this is a guy who is iconic in the true sense of a word. And for guys our age, Matt, I know you know, you didn't grow up the basketball fan that I did, but for guys in our age category, he was our Michael Jordan.
Of course.
He was more so than a guy like Shaq. He was the NBA.
I watched every game of those Lakers, you know, runs when it was Shaq and Kobe, because that was can't miss TV, right? And later on when it was Kobe versus the Celtics, that would have been around 08, whatever it was. It was can't miss TV, man. The guy was a star.
He was a star, and he was made for, and I think he's somebody who was very misunderstood at the beginning of his career. I definitely was not a Kobe fan at the beginning. I thought he was
part
this,
of his legacy.
Know,
that's real interesting. I don't think a lot of people loved him early on, right?
He was really the second guy, you know, after Garnett to come out of the come out of high school.
Yeah.
Right. So there was a little bit of a who is this guy? I think he is.
Yeah.
Right. And he is the son of an NBA player. He comes out of Philly. You know, learned how to play basketball overseas. Truly, mm-hmm. right? While his dad was over in Italy. But yeah, so he's kind of an unknown guy who comes back in his high school age, all of a sudden lights up Philly high school and decides to make this jump after winning a state championship. And I think it caught a lot of people off guard, and his bravado.
Well, it's funny, right? His parents had to co-sign his first NBA contract because he wasn't going to turn 18 for a couple more days, and they wanted to get it locked up. So yeah, he wasn't going to debut till he was 18, but they had to sign it while he was 17. So his parents are... they have their signatures on his first contract.
Think about how wild, like, insane that sounds like, right?
For sure.
You know, and he definitely, you know, he had his battles with Shaq, and he chased multiple people off his teams.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Because of his perceived attitude. Now, when we look back at it in retrospect, you know, and not even post, you know, post his untimely death yesterday, but even his retirement, you start to learn a lot about leadership through him, and you start to learn about what type of person he was. And guys like Phil Jackson, sorry, his longtime coach, really teaching him how to harness that energy that he had.
Yeah.
You know, and we forget about it, you know, especially in Canada. We see guys like Sidney Crosby. We see Connor McDavid's, who are just so goddamn vanilla, you know, and that's not a knock on them, but
nope.
Even a guy like John Tavares, right? Like very vanilla. That's just what they're taught in the Canadian hockey culture.
Yeah. Just do your business. Don't rock the boat. No notable quotes, nothing. Just go about your business.
And unlike a guy like Michael Jordan, who was, you know, out till 5 a.m. gambling and playing golf.
Yeah.
Kobe was, you know, not the Twitter generation by any means, but he was a time when, you know, TMZ's around now. You know, television, and he's the guy who's taken Brandy to high school prom and that sort of stuff. Right.
Right.
He's at the forefront of that. So, and not having the ability to control the narrative, like a guy like Dwayne Wade, like a guy like LeBron can, having seen those guys grow up, you know,
mm-hmm.
these guys are making those decisions to control their narrative based on what happened to guys like Kobe, based on what happened to guys like Rodman. Because they had that as an experience to look at.
Oof,
he was the guy who went through it.
That's a rough comparison.
maybe Rodman's a rough comparison by any means, right? But there was a story that just, you know, I was listening to some Kobe stuff today and digging in on some of the old memories. And there's that, you know, a quote in, I can't remember if it's his book or if it's Phil Jackson's book, but explaining to Kobe when he was getting upset at all his teammates. Phil Jackson explained to him that what makes you such a special person is that your 10 out of 10 is unimaginable for anybody else. You know, you got to stop getting mad at people for not being on your level,
right,
and expecting yourself and other people. And I think as Kobe got older and as he started to move into the later part of his career, and you start getting quotes from the guys like LeBron, the guys like DeMar DeRozan, you understand that he grew up in front of our eyes, right? He was a kid,
right?
And at 18 he was making stupid mistakes. At 22 he was making stupid mistakes, but he was doing it in front of the public eye. And as he got older, he took that older brother mentor role so seriously. And I think that's why what you end up seeing now is the sadness in the NBA and why everybody is so touched by him. because he's still running camps for all the current players. He's trying to make all these guys better people as well. And, you know, sadly, you know, he lost his eldest daughter in the crash as well. And
yeah.
So much of Kobe lately has been focused on development of younger players and development of his girls and
Women's players.
He coaches his girls' teams, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to bring a higher level of coaching and skill to women's sport at this point.
And it doesn't take long to scroll through his Twitter and see him tweeting like I tweet about the Leafs, only he's talking about the WNBA. It's not just this token, we should support women's athletes. He's naming specific women. Can't believe the play I just saw from so-and-so, or what a game from the... Like, it's not the token stuff. He's in on it. He's involved in it, and he's watching it, and clearly he's committed to it. And you referenced, you know, his girls and that he's coaching them. And it's a really complicated history. I think we would be remiss. I don't want to spend much time on it with what happened to him in 2003 with the court case and what he was involved in there and how that was all sort of wrapped up in the public eye fairly it was sort of unresolved for a lot of people. And all you can do is sort of judge what people's actions are from there. And since then, he has been an open supporter of women in sport, at least. So it's a complicated history for Kobe, but, you know, the thing that maybe caught me the most was a video I saw on Twitter Monday, and it was from an interview he had clearly done years ago explaining why he had gone to the helicopter. And it was that he was, you know, sort of sometimes able to drop his girls off at school, but often not because of LA traffic, which is just horrendous for anyone who's not familiar. He went down for, you know, the morning shoot around and the media and whatever else was going to be going on. If he was going to have another 2.5 hour drive home, he was going to miss picking them up from school. And so he started looking into the helicopter thing. And he said his wife told him, like, it's fine. I don't mind picking the girls up. He's like, I want to do that. I'm about to go on another 10-day road trip to God knows where. And I'm not going to be able to do it. When I'm home, I want to be home. And so this thing with the helicopter started, and it was part of... The same way Spike Lee is part of Knicks lore in New York, you just associate them. People would comment all the time about being sitting in traffic in Los Angeles and looking up, knowing the route, and seeing the chopper and going, that's probably Kobe, right? Headed to the game tonight or whatever. It had become part of LA life, and it was done so he could be around his kids more. And to see that he was on the chopper now with one of his kids doing stuff with them, man, just such a cruel fucking way for it to wrap up, right? Something that was so noteworthy and the reasons that he did it were right, and then all of a sudden, that's what takes you out. Fucking terrible, man, at 41 years old.
Yeah, I think his age obviously, you know, impacts everybody, and the fact that he just retired from the league and he's still so clearly identified and around the league so much, I think it definitely hurts fans, and it hurts the players who knew him well, and the people who covered him. And he was an interesting guy, right? He was obviously, like I've mentioned, you know, interested in leadership and mentoring. He was getting into film. He definitely had another chapter.
Yeah.
And maybe more than one chapter ahead of him. He had that mentality. There's been better basketball players, right? There'll be better basketball players.
Yeah.
But to have the combination of skill, desire, work ethic, and mentality, I think is what kind of his lasting legacy will be and what he changed across a lot of sports, right?
Yeah.
There's that quote, the Mamba mentality, right? And he had that Nike commercial years ago. It was like different animal, right?
Yep.
Describing what you need to be a champion. And I think that's something that, you know, maybe why he meant so much to so many people, because so many people saw him do that. And whether you were a Laker fan or not, and like I said, I hated him for a long time, especially when he was putting up 81 points against the Raptors.
Yeah.
You know, but you couldn't help but appreciate that greatness that was within him, you know, at least as an athlete and at least as somebody with work ethic. And nobody's without warts, for sure, like you said. And, everybody knows that was not handled well by the media at that time. It wasn't handled well by his people at the time.
Right.
all we can do is, you know, hope that it was the best case scenario, I want to say, right, out of everything that could have been there.
Yeah.
No, but he, you know, people do make mistakes and people change, and you hope that he was, you know, truthfully the person he was portraying himself to be.
Absolutely, man. It was, it caught me off guard. Similar to you, I'm sitting in a bar getting ready to get on a train to come home from Montreal, and I get a text from a friend of mine that says, did you hear Kobe Bryant died? And I'm like, what? And like, this is weird. That can't be right. Like,
yeah.
And, I kind of read it out loud to the people I was sitting there with, and someone's fucking with you. That's not. And so I just responded and said, what, how? And they said, went down in a helicopter crash, near Los Angeles. And so I read that out loud and someone's fucking with you. And I'm like, I don't think somebody's fucking with me. No one's going to send a text out of nowhere just to tell me Kobe died. Like, what the fuck? Kind of a weird. And like you say, then news just starts rolling in. Of course, you jump on Twitter or whatever to try and find out what's happening. And for the next, well, that was, you know, Sunday afternoon our time. It's now Monday evening. It's still everywhere. That is the big story right now. So
it's still everywhere. And I found myself today in my little bit break in the middle of my day, you know, and you just end up on Twitter and you're just looking and you end up deep diving into the reactions and emotions that are coming out. And I think it's touched a lot of people in a lot of different ways, you know, people with, fathers I know with daughters and, coaches I know, and just to see how it's touched everybody a little differently.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that, you know, even in a horrific accident like this, he's still bringing people together in some cases. And,
yeah.
No, I think they'll do a good job of kind of, in memoriam, kind of honoring him,
going forward
in the NBA.
I enjoyed what the Raptors and was it the Spurs or the Rockets? I can't remember who they were playing
Spurs.
On Sunday.
It was Raptors and Spurs.
Yeah, and so the Raptors come out with the ball and let the 24-second shot clock run down in tribute to him. Of course, Kobe Bryant wore number 24. That turns the ball over. The Spurs do the same thing, let the 24-second shot clock run down. And as the crowd's growing to understand in the building what's happening, what it means, they're standing and chanting his name. And that's in a city that had its battles with Kobe and the Lakers throughout the years. So respect coming in from all over the place. Some cool tributes going on. And it's just a crazy story. We're going to try and turn the page here a little bit, have a little bit of fun. But that was absolutely something that warranted conversation. Before we move on to the NFL, it's been a while since we've checked in on the Raptors on this show. I feel like it's been a strange year, and in a lot of ways, they're kind of flying under the radar a little bit. They've had some horrific luck with injuries throughout the first half, but they continue to keep their heads well above water to the point where some people are suspecting that Masai may still have some ace up his sleeve as the trade deadline approaches. Not sure how much he's got left to do there. What has sort of your perspective been on where the Raptors have been for the last month or two, I guess, and whether this is a team still that may have to be taken seriously in the Eastern Conference?
Well, before we just jump into that, Matt, there's just one little piece I want to talk about when it comes to the Raptors.
And sure.
I'm not sure on my dates here when it comes to the All-Star game, but in the NBA, the NBA coach for the Eastern and Western Conference is picked by whoever is in first place by that arbitrary date that the NBA sets.
Yes.
But you cannot coach 2 years in a row.
Okay.
And that's called the Pat Riley rule because when he was in LA.
Every fucking year.
Yeah. And people were sick of Pat Riley and his greased back hair.
The Barry Melrose.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Now, right now, the Bucks are obviously in first place in the East. Mike Budenholzer was a coach last year. He can't coach this year. I know it's at some point this week that the date set. Right now, the Raptors are in second place, a half game up on the Heat.
Right.
So we could see Coach Nick Nurse. Just want to keep that on everybody's radar who's hearing this in the morning.
That'd be pretty cool.
That Coach Nick Nurse could be our Eastern Conference coach this year in Chicago, which would be awesome. It'd be great to see that.
Yeah.
Because the Raptors have never had a coach. A head coach be at the top of the table there.
Yeah.
So really cool. That would
cool to keep an eye on for sure.
And I think that leads right into what you're saying. You know, it's hard to imagine a team that's in second place or in a dogfight for second place flying under the radar. But as Toronto fans are used to, at least Raptor fans,
yeah,
you're going to fly under the radar most years. One of the really cool photos I keep getting, you know, posted recently is everybody who thought that the Heat and Miami Heat, that is, and Toronto Raptors were either going to finish 8th and 9th or 7th and 8th.
Yes.
And that was Sam Mitchell, the old Raptors coach and current television personality, picking 7th and 8th for the Raptors and Heat. And everybody's, you know, putting that next to the actual standings with the Raptors and the Heat in a dogfight for 2nd. So, as you said, it's been a horrific year for injuries. I can't remember a Raptor team getting hit like this. And at the same time, the Leafs getting hit the same way.
No, it's true.
It's pretty crazy.
Busy MLS infirmary.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes hard to watch some of these games, unfortunately. Yeah. How Nick Nurse has this team in this position is just mind-boggling to me. And getting guys, you know, undrafted free agents, undrafted rookies, G League players, just getting good quality minutes out of them. And, you know, towards the end there, as guys started to come back, you could definitely see, you know, the steam coming out of these guys. And they just aren't, some of them aren't good enough to play 20 minutes a night at their current spot for that many games in a row. But they keep finding ways to win. They, you know, they're healthier now. You got to imagine they're going to make a push here. It's going to be interesting. Unlike past years, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago with Ibaka, you knew he was on the block. You knew Mike Gasol, or Marc Gasol, sorry, and Mike Conley were on the block last year. I don't know if I've heard anybody but Andre Drummond being available and Tristan Thompson from the Cavs that everybody kind of knows they're available. Those are big men, obviously. I don't know if they fit with this current Raptor team. It's going to be interesting to see, but, you know, Masai has not shied away from making a splash.
No.
I got to think he's got something up his sleeve. He's got a lot of players. Like the Raptors fans know, you know, from last year, right? It always used to be, oh, the Raptors depth. And last year he went, forget it. I'm going to get rid of some of that depth to bring in the guys I want.
Yep.
Right, he made the moves at the beginning of the year for Kawhi, obviously, at the end of the year for Marc Gasol, gave up some of that depth because you only need 8 guys come playoff time. And you need 8 guys who can really give it. So I got to assume he's kicking every tire possible to try to bring somebody in. Who that person is, nobody's ever going to know until end of the season.
Right.
It always surprised me that, you know, he tried to get Paul George years ago for DeMar DeRozan at the trade deadline.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously that didn't come
out. He's out there taking his swings.
Yeah. He's like a little bit like a ninja in the background there. You don't know about it, which is great. Something's going to drop. I can't imagine something's not going to happen with this team because they're so close to contending again.
Right.
I don't think you give up the opportunity of a aging Marc Gasol and an aging Kyle Lowry. And it's, you know, throw Serge Ibaka into that mix as well. And you don't get these opportunities a lot. So, you know, and you're literally one injury away to Anthony Davis from being, you know, from the league being wide open again. So,
yeah. Well,
I think you go in all in if you can here.
Let's say he can't pull out anything big and he just tinkers around the edges a little bit. Worst case scenario. But you're still left with this team that's battling towards the top of the Eastern Conference standings. Are they good enough to get by, you know, those top teams in the East again as currently constructed? Or is this kind of a second, third round team where they are right now? I know we haven't had a really good chance to look at them for long stretches fully healthy, but as you look at that roster with no big changes, can they hang in the East?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely they can. I mean, the two teams they have the most problems with, it's Miami. For whatever reason, they've had some trouble with them, but they've played them hurt mostly. And the Bucks, right?
For sure.
And the Bucks have given everybody trouble. So, I mean, that's not necessarily a knock on the Raptors.
That's a good
team. You got to assume, can Nick Nurse do something like he did last year? I mean, obviously without Kawhi, but can they do something with the current roster to neutralize Giannis? And fuck, at this point, which other coach in the league do you think could do it?
Right.
Realistically, right? He's a top and proven himself to be a top coach in the league and a resourceful coach. And If I'm putting money on it, I don't think they're getting by the Bucks by any means right now.
Right.
Would they still give them a run? Sure, you know, they take them to 5 or 6 games. anybody else in the league, at least on the Eastern side, I still have them coming out on top of, right? Like the 76ers, they have their number. The Pacers, you know, even with Oladipo coming back later this week, I don't think they can do that. The Celtics would be a great series, but I think the Raptors are still a better team overall and have the talent to come out on top. Raptors aren't a great, aren't a huge team by any means, but the Celtics look like a bunch of midget players against them. They've got absolutely nobody big that the Raptors can't handle. So, I mean, you know, it always kind of depends how the league shakes out at the end and who you end up playing. But, you know, if the team can stay healthy, I would not be surprised, you know, with them in the Eastern Conference Final going against the Bucks again this year. Like I said, truthfully, I think the Bucks are just the team to beat in the East right now. Last year, I was, you know, we had this conversation. I'm like, now the Raptors are the best team in the East.
Yeah.
Given, you know, healthy players. So I'd like to see them go make another move, right? Everybody knows the Raptors' plan in 2 years is to make a run at Giannis. And the best way to get Giannis is by beating him again. So
yeah, true enough. Yeah.
Right. So
can't beat him, join him, right?
That's it. And there's definitely a connection with him to Masai that's obviously been well talked about and well publicized. And you got to think that's at least an option if you can continue to kind of be his foil or right. somebody to be his foil. And right now the Raptors are really their only foil in the Eastern Conference. But this is going to be, you know, this time of the year, end of January into maybe the beginning of March, it tends to be that, you know, just like in hockey, kind of the dark days where, you know, not everybody's showing up every day because, you know, the season's in its mid-season form and it's very easy to check out on a random Wednesday night game.
Sure.
Against whoever, you know, against the Hornets or the Knicks.
Yeah.
But I think with the Raptors not having played as much together as a team, we're going to see them take these games a little bit more serious and let Nick Nurse try to figure out his rotations the way he needs to figure them out now that he knows he has a full 10-man roster to figure out.
Right.
Which at the beginning of the season, even at the beginning of the season, he was using 7 guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. Been a strange year for the Raptors. The head coach. What I'm interested is getting your take on the Super Bowl, because it has also been an interesting year in the NFL playoffs, including a team actually getting to the big game by winning their conference championship with 8 completed fucking passes. That is mind-blowing to me, but this is Super Bowl week. We would be remiss if we didn't get your take on it. It's, of course, the 49ers and the Chiefs. You talked last year in kind of the Final Four area, you know, as we got ready for the Super Bowl, that we were starting to see this turning of the page to these young quarterbacks, and we ended up with a good example of it in the Super Bowl, young versus old, and old got it done again. But we're seeing now maybe the continuation of that page turn with this.
Listen, can we stop calling Tom old?
We cannot.
We know who you're talking about. Yeah, okay?
Of course.
I know who you're talking about here.
Of course.
You watch your mouth when you're talking to me.
that's fair. this is an interesting matchup. And stylistically, if nothing else, you got one team that's going to, you know, try and shoot the lights out and another that's happy to try and get it done on the ground if they have to, based on the way they're built. It's an interesting one. What do you expect out of this matchup?
Yeah, and let's take it back to Tom Brady for 1 second, because I think...
because we have to.
Because we have
to. We always have to. Even when he's not in the fucking game, we got to find time for Tom.
Greatest NFL player of all time. We can make time for the
It's man. Tom Talk on the Tall Can Audio Network.
How we didn't come up with this as a weekly show before this.
Oh, God.
Next season, this is what we're going to do.
Oh, God.
Tom, as we talked about it last year, you know, it was, right? It was Jeff Goff in the Super Bowl, but who was it in that semifinal game?
Was it not Mahomes again?
It was Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
And he looked electric, and the entire time I was watching the AFC Championship, I'm just sweating buckets because I'm like, here comes Pat Mahomes.
Right.
Here comes Pat Mahomes. This guy is the evolution of the quarterback,
the heir to the throne, for sure.
He is the heir to the throne, and there's an interesting subplot to the fact that all of a sudden this year, Pat Mahomes got hurt. He dislocated his patella, his kneecap, missed 2 weeks, I think, and then came back and not quite himself right away. And everybody fell in love with Lamar Jackson. And it's not that Lamar Jackson is not a great quarterback, but everybody seemed to have forgotten about Pat Mahomes for half a year.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's playoff time and Pat Mahomes is like, oh yeah, guys, this is my throne.
Don't forget about me.
Don't forget about me. I'm the best player in the league right now.
Yeah.
And he's definitely, he's demonstrating it. He's another one of these guys who used to be who also grew up as a shortstop. And you can really see his ability to look passes off, make sidearm throws, go across his body, which is incredibly difficult
mm-hmm.
in any sport. But to do it in football with such accuracy, it's literally video game football a little bit. This guy is absolutely fantastic. Taking it to the Super Bowl talk, I was really surprised when the line opened up in Vegas. I think it opened up as like 2.5 and quickly went down to 1.
Oh, wow.
In favor of the Chiefs. And if you had asked me, I thought they would have been a 5 to 6 point favor right off the get-go. Yeah. They've just looked like a dominant. They've been a dominant team for the last 2 years. They've looked super dominant. They've got the best player on the field at all times in the Super Bowl. I can't, as much as I would love to see Jimmy G and the 49ers win a Super Bowl, I would have to say going in, you know, as your favorites, it's got to be the Chiefs, because no matter how far they're out of the game, they're only one or two plays away.
Yeah.
Because he's such an electric player. And in a game like the Super Bowl where, you know, we've seen anything happen sometimes, and at the turn of a, you know, drop of a hat, it's happened. You can't count this guy out at any point. And I want to say it was the, it was the AFC semifinal against Houston where they were down 24-0.
Yes.
In about the blink of an eye. And where most teams panic. Where most players panic. We saw this with Lamar Jackson when his team went down pretty early in that AFC conference semifinal. And they changed the way he was playing. They stopped him from being Lamar. He wasn't making the runs he usually does. He was relying too much on his arm and becoming very predictable and one-dimensional. You know, Pat Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs did not. They just trusted who they were and proceeded to put up 50 points to the point that Kansas City actually ran out of fireworks for their TD celebration.
Yeah, wow.
Which is just, I mean, you know, kind of a stupid thing, but like something that I think of, like, how dynamic are you as a team that your game ops
home
ran
field
out of celebration?
We're not prepared for how much you were going to score.
Which is just, you know, it's kind of hilarious, right? And I think an interesting subplot to this game is you've got a guy in Andy Reid who's never won a championship. A coach, Andy Reid, whose closest memory was losing to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in, and I forget which Super Bowl it was, but when he was coaching a very, very good Philadelphia Eagles team. And, you know, there's that bit at the end where they had a chance to either tie it up or win, and they choked between Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid. They just choked the game away and made it very easy for the Patriots to win. I think that might have been their third in a row at that point, or it was part of that that run the Patriots had a while back. And this is his, you know, this is a redemption story for him as well. And he's going against a guy in Kyle Shanahan who, as an offensive coordinator, blew again and choked
yes.
that game away against the Patriots
for
and Tom
sure.
Brady.
Yeah,
well, you know, when it was 28-3, the you know, the number which will live in infamy. Because he changed his game plan and choked it away. And now we know why it's always Tom Talk here on Tall Can Audio. Because all he does is ruin people's careers. But you've got two chances for redemption for coaches who are wearing this, you know, this wart on them and definitely want to prove themselves to be winners and put themselves in a position that, you know, in the upper echelon of the coaching ranks as well, right? And obviously, you know, Pat Mahomes is a much better quarterback right now than Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy football, as the fact that, you know, the 49ers didn't even need to throw, you know, they threw eight passes,
exactly.
Eight completed passes, where I think the 49ers have a chance is they have an amazing defense, and they have guys like Bosa who can get through the line and create problems for Pat Mahomes and force him into positions he does not want to be in. And the only way you can beat Pat Mahomes is you have to get on him before he can make that second decision.
Yeah.
Well, you got to make him throw the ball away before he can get away and create a second play.
Right. Well, so you've done a nice job here in kind of outlining, you know, stylistically what we're looking at with these two coaches and the stories that have brought them to where we are. Give me a name or two that we should be looking for in this game that maybe aren't grabbing the headlines. Obviously, Pat Mahomes is the big one. The quarterbacks on both sides are always going to be, you know, the story. But give me a name or two, you know, from each side that you expect could have a bigger impact than maybe people are talking about, or somebody you go, this guy's interesting to me. He might be somebody to keep an eye on.
Oh gosh. I mean, maybe not even like unknown players, but I think guys who are going to be talked about quite a bit for those of you who don't follow these teams a lot. Richard Sherman, going back again, love another that guy that Tom Brady beat, yes, and stole a Super Bowl from when he was playing with Seattle. You see the thread just running through this talk, right?
Don't you ever thought me? Love that guy, man. Made his name back in Seattle, am I right there? It was the Seahawks.
What were they? They were the Boom.
Yeah.
What was their name? The Boom something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
A bunch of really great defensive backs on that team back in the day. And, you know, he ended up going to the 49ers looking for a big paycheck and has proved a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, he kind of really thought to maybe be washed up, but he's still got it going on, man.
So it's going to be interesting because he's a guy, you know, say what you want about him, but come big games, when he gets talking, he's going to show up and he's going to prove himself. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see that battle between him and, you know, the wide receivers who are very, very fast on Kansas City and Pat Mahomes. Like I mentioned, Nick Bosa, a former, if I'm not mistaken, he was a first overall, if not first overall, very high pick for the 49ers. Just a great defensive end. I mean, this guy is kind of a J.J. Watt style player. So there's no doubt that he's going to be kind of all over the field trying to track Pat Mahomes down, which is going to be something interesting to watch. Just two dynamic players just going after each other, right? And that can really dictate what the game's going to look like. Trying to think of a name for you on the other side of it. And Tyreek Hill, he's the wide receiver to keep your eyes on. This guy, I swear, he on the football field, he looks like Usain Bolt.
Wow.
He is fast. He's dynamic. He's going to cover lots of ground. He's going to make big, big plays. You know, watch out for him. Who I was looking for here was, where's his name in my head? Travis Kelce. He is the tight end for your Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And he's a little bit of a Gronk-esque type player. And that's the most recent comparisons I've heard about him. He had a very quiet AFC championship, but traditionally this guy is a game breaker. He's in that Gronk mold of just big, fast, gets open. He's a bully on the field. He's also a little bit of your, if you think of Gronkowski, a little bit of your frat boy personality.
Yeah. Okay.
He loves the limelight, and, he's the guy I've read some articles about that if he has a big game, he could be the next big star. That you could see him, much like Gronkowski in the past.
Might have to get the guy.
Might have to get it. That's what people in Kansas say, yeah, too.
But, for sure, man.
Right? So watch for him, because I think, you know, with the defense and the solid defense that the 49ers are going to bring to the Super Bowl, Pat Mahomes is going to have to look at his tight end to help open up the game,
right,
and get those quick outs. So we're going to see a lot of Travis Kelce. So the listener should be keeping an eye on him. Or, you know, if you're looking at prop bets, I haven't looked at see what all the prop bets look like just yet. But if you're looking for somebody to, you know, put up some TDs or some yards, that could be a guy that you might want to earmark for yourself there.
So you've referenced the betting. Who will Matty Lang be betting on in the Super Bowl this Sunday?
And as you stated, I'm going to, you know, let's make this realistic. I'm going to look it up right now. Let's look up what the current Super Bowl line is right now. I'll give you my best. Cause that's the only way to do it. I don't want people tweeting me later on to tell me I was off on that. See, it is very tight. So we've got the money line is -120 for the Chiefs and even money on the 49ers. Okay. So that's a 1.5 spread for the Chiefs.
Right.
Oh God. At that, all my money is going on the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is Andy Reid's time for redemption for his, you know, his Super Bowl. And I really do think Pat Mahomes is the new face of the NFL. He's just such a dynamic player and looks like to be quite the leader on the field. So I got to think, you know, I'm putting my money on the Chiefs, and I don't know if the 49ers can keep up and put enough points up. Well, another interesting one is just before we move from that, another interesting one that just caught my eye, the over-under right now is 55 overall.
Based on the last couple that we've seen, I'm going under there, man. That's a lot of points.
That's a huge amount of points.
Coming in riding that solid of a defense, that's an under for me, man.
I think my money would be on the under if I'm going to make that bet. I did hear a crazy stat, like in the last 8 years, only one time it's gone over. And usually a Super Bowl game will be closer to the 40s,
yeah,
like the low 40s. So right. I think it's high because of the Chiefs and what they can do. But I can't see this one, even if it gets out of hand, I don't think we're seeing 56 points.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
I don't think the 49ers are going to put that many points up regardless.
The last thing I wanted to reference before we get out of here, we are 2 days away. January 29th is Bell Let's Talk Day in Canada. We've referenced before on this show on Audio Whiplash, some people, and they make legitimate points, but want to have a little bit of cynicism about the thing and Bell's attachment to it and this and that. And that's all fine. There's legitimate points out there if you want to have that look at it. But what I think is far more important, if you look past all of that, is the amount of people that get out there and tell their story, draw some attention to something, especially amongst men. You've done the Movember thing, Matty, for as long as anyone I know. They have, of course, started the thing with men's health, and it was a prostate thing and you know, things that are specific to men, but have since started to incorporate mental health as well. As that's something that men simply don't talk about anywhere near enough, don't get checked out anywhere near enough. You know, Bell Let's Talk Day, for all the cynicism you want to put into it, does a ton of good with the amount of people that suddenly have a conversation. And if nothing else, seeing that many people talk about it, whether it be sharing their stories or telling people that they're prepared to listen or whatever it might be, makes it easier for people who might be on the fence to go, okay, I'm not alone out there. This happens to way more people than we think it does. Maybe I'm ready to reach out. And I think I want to give Matty the floor here for a second on this before we wrap up. But the thing I would try to leave you with, I suppose, is that it's far, far easier for you to reach out to someone that you might be worried about or just have noticed little something and say, is everything okay? You doing all right? Like, whatever it might be, that's going to be far easier for you than it might be for somebody who is suffering to take the first step towards you to ask for help. It's so easy to ask people that you're worried about or that you know or that you care about if everything's okay. Way easier than it might be for them to take that step. And if you are someone who's ready to take that step and who has been suffering, maybe this is the type of day that draws enough attention to it that it can push you forward to go and do that. And I hope it does if you're ready. But man, for the rest of us, it's a good reminder that just because people seem okay and just because people seem like they're doing all right doesn't mean we know what's happening under the hood. And it's never a bad thing to just reach out and check in on people, man.
Oh man. And that's it, buddy. I mean, God, I mean, for guys like you and myself who've had a personal ties to this,
yeah.
Obviously, it means a lot more. And we can always discuss, you know, what is an awareness campaign? But I think in the case of mental health and men and mental health, toxic masculinity and the rest of it, that coming from sporting backgrounds and everything, that can really affect people in the way they think and their perception of themselves and their perception of who they are as people and where they fit in and if they fit in or do they have a place to fit in. I think just demystifying it is so, so important. And like you said, if that starts a conversation, but even just to let people know that other people have gone through it,
mm-hmm.
to let people know that whether you've gone through it and you've succeeded at it, or you're going through it and you're still struggling with it. I think having that discussion can save people and can make it easier for other people to be in better places. And I think that's such a tremendous thing. And that's, you know, you reference back to the Movember, and that's really what it's about, right? It's hopefully letting people know that, you know, we're here for them, and, you know, we're here for our friends, we're here for our families. And, I think, you know, it's such a new thing for everybody still,
yeah,
to even be discussing this in an open forum.
Yeah.
So anytime we can have a positive light shone on it, right? So we've seen in the past guys like Kevin Love last year, and previously a few times, you know, DeMar DeRozan talking about this and letting people know that it happens to even the people we put on pedestals and the people we cheer for.
Who it's you just think must a, just have it all. But that doesn't change anything. Like, you know, you have no idea what's going on in people's minds and in their lives. And, you know, it's an important thing. And it's something that people have rallied around and made this a big annual thing. You hope that it's something that doesn't get limited to one day, you know, that we can keep that sort of open dialogue going throughout the year. But it is a day where a ton of attention, forget the money that gets raised, which is important, but the attention that gets drawn and the spotlight that gets shone on it is important. And, you know, one of the great quotes that I've heard, and I post every day on, or every year on Bell Let's Talk Day it's a throwaway line. I can't even remember where I heard it, but it was just, if you're going through something, call me, I'll go with you. And, you know, it's as simple as that, right? Just be open, be available, be, you know, ready to talk to people if you think they might need it. And it really is that simple, man. So we're not going to pound this into people. That's going to go on quite a bit during that day. But it was worth mentioning here. Our DMs are always open at Tall Can Audio anywhere on social media. You can reach out here if that's where you're comfortable. I know Maddie's the same way. So, you know, if you're going through something, you don't have to do it alone, right? And if you're ready, there will be somebody there to help you. So that's really the most important thing that I think they draw from it. We don't need to get too preachy on it. Hashtag Bell Let's Talk on Wednesday, January 29th. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. If you use that hashtag, it will go 5 cents for every time it gets used. Will go towards mental health initiatives. So, you know, if you're listening, throw it up there and help somebody out. So, Maddie, hit us one more time. On Instagram, where can we find you? On the YouTubes, what's happening?
Give us a follow, The Injury Gurus on Instagram, on Twitter, specifically on YouTube, and as always, at Matt Does Physio on Instagram.
We'll wrap this one up. Maddie, as always, appreciate your time. Well, this won't be the last time in 2020, I'm sure, so even though it was the first. It had been a little while. People were starting to ask what happened to Maddie. So just hard to touch base sometimes. So as always, we appreciate you guys checking out the show. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio. We're at facebook.com/TallCanAudio. If you're enjoying the podcast and the place that you listen allows for such things, we would love it if you'd leave us a rating and a review. Helps us out quite a bit. And until the next time, we'll catch you later. See you, Maddie.
See you, Ben.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.